I heard this poem, and I'd like to take the opportunity to read it to you. And it says, "The clock of time is wound but once, and no man has the power to tell just when it will stop, at late or early hour. Now is the only time you own. Live, love, toil with will. Place no faith in the clock tomorrow, for that clock may then be still." Greetings, radio friends. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies and also senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church here in the city of Pittsburgh. We would like to thank you for joining us today for the first half of A Worthwhile Purchase. I am not in the pulpit at Bethany Baptist Church. We had some things take place where I'm back in the green room and I'm sitting down sharing the message today. So I just want to let you know that this is just for this week, and we will be back to the pulpit of the church and me preaching. I know some of you like me up there moving around. Seems like I have more energy, and I'm going to try to exude that energy this morning, even though I'm sitting down. We pray that you stick with us this week. Like I said, we'll be back in the pulpit next week. I want to share a message with you today and begin with a illustration that I often use at homegoing celebrations. And the illustration is taken from the Daily Bread. And it was an article entitled, "If You Are 35, You Have 500 Days to Live." And I thought to myself, wow, if you are 35, you have 500 days to live. And then I went on to read the article to try to get some understanding. And in it, it talked about that we will spend 23 years sleeping 8 hours a day. We will spend 16 years working. We spend 8 years watching television, 6 years eating, 6 years traveling, 4.5 years leisure time. Hate to bring this one up, but 4 years dealing with some kind of illness. And it went on and on. And the conclusion was that if you add all those things together and you take the days that you have left, that you only have 500 days to live. And I thought to myself, wow, that makes a lot of sense. And we need to be busy about using our days in such a way where God is glorified. That's why I want to speak to you on a message today entitled A Worthwhile Purchase. A Worthwhile Purchase. In Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 15, we read, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." And it says here that we should redeem the times. Now, this word redeem actually means to purchase or to buy back. It comes from the Greek word exorazomai, and it talks about to make the most of, to even purchase that which is lost. And so Paul admonishes us that we need to redeem the time. We need to purchase the time. That's why I'm talking about a worthwhile purchase. A worthwhile purchase. We buy houses. We buy cars. We buy furniture. We buy clothes. And, you know, for us, when we purchase those things, those are worthwhile purchases. But Paul this morning is talking about a purchase that is worthwhile. When we redeem the time, when we buy up the time, you can't make a better purchase. In Psalm 90, in verse 12, Moses, who is the writer of the psalm, he says, Lord, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And that is the Old Testament version of Paul's writing in Ephesians chapter 5. Paul says to buy up the time. Moses says that we need to use our time wisely. And when we think about using our time wisely, you know, we need to realize that tomorrow is not promised. You know, we think that we have tomorrow and that we can waste today. But tomorrow is not promised. I heard this poem, and I'd like to take the opportunity to read it to you. And it says, the clock of time is wound but once, and no man has the power to tell just when it will stop at late or early hour. Now is the only time you own. Live, love, toil with will. Place no faith in the clock tomorrow, for that clock may then be still. That we don't have the promise of tomorrow. That the only time that we are promised is right now. And so that's why we need to redeem the time. We need to buy up the time. And that we need to know not only is not tomorrow promised, but each day is a gift from God. Do you see each day as a gift from God? The psalmist said in Psalm 118 and verse 24, this is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Now, I believe the psalmist was talking about a greater day. You know, this is the day. You know, he was talking about a greater period of time. But I'd just like to capitalize on that and say, this day is the day that the Lord has given you. This is the day. This particular day is the day that the Lord has given you. You know that you have today, and you need to celebrate. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Somebody put it like this. Yesterday is the canceled check. Tomorrow is the promissory note. Today is the only cash. Spend it wisely. Oh, that word, that bears, is worth repeating again. Yesterday is the canceled check. Tomorrow is the promissory note. Today is the only cash. Spend it wisely. Spend it wisely. That God has given you the gift of today, and you need to spend it wisely. I remember the old song that used to be sung, and it says, he didn't have to do it, but he did. He didn't have to do it, but he did. He woke me up this morning, and he started me on my way. He didn't have to do it, but he did. Oh, God has blessed us with today. Thank him for this day's blessing. A worthwhile purchase. A worthwhile purchase. As we look at the passage, I want to share with you three things from this particular passage. The first thing is that we need to have serious contemplation. Serious contemplation. Notice what he says here. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, So if you're unwise, that means you're not using your time in a manner that's glorifying the Lord. He says, be not wise, but understand. Understand what the will of the Lord is. This word, understand, is a very interesting Greek word. It comes from the word sunima, and it actually means to grasp. Oh, I'm preaching to somebody today. It actually means to grasp with the mind. To grasp with the mind. Understand what time is all about. Understand the meaning of time. Understand the present moment that you have. Let me do a little experiment today. Watch this. Now you say, what? I didn't see you do anything. What experiment was that? Well, whatever it was, 4 or 5 seconds where I did absolutely nothing. Those are moments that you can never get back. Those are seconds that you can never get back. You can't go down to the bank and withdraw those seconds and get them back. You can't go to the store and purchase those seconds and get them back. That's why Paul says, understand that you need to understand not only what the will of the Lord is, and we're going to talk about that in a second, but understand how precious time is. When you think about time and how precious time is, you know, think about people who are in an accident, and every second is important for the paramedics to get there and to give them the attention that they need. When you think about how important time is, think about the runner who missed by a portion of a second qualifying for the Olympics. When you think about how important time is, think about that college student or that high school student that failed and had to repeat the grade or the class all over again. When you think about how important time is, think about that mother who goes into labor and does not deliver her child right away, but agonizes for hours and maybe even a day or two before she delivers that child. Time is very important. And so the Apostle Paul lets us know that we need to understand time, understand how important time is, understand that what we do with our time is very significant. I heard somebody put it like this, and I thought this was kind of funny, but it said that life is like a roll of toilet paper, that it unravels one sheet at a time, and the closer you get to the end, the faster it goes. I like that. Life is like a roll of toilet paper. It goes one sheet at a time, and the closer you get to the end, the faster it goes. We need to understand how important time is. And then as we look at this understanding, we need to understand how we might get the most out of our days. How can we get the most out of the days that God has given us? That's why Moses said, again, in Psalm 90, Lord, teach us to number our days. If we go back to the opening illustration and realize that we have 500 days, if we're 35 years old, and maybe this audience that I'm talking to, most of you may be older than 35. So that means that your 500 days to do whatever you want to do with has been greatly reduced. And you need to understand what you need to do with those days that you have remaining. Whether you're 35, 25, 45, 15, 55, 5, 65, you need to understand what you are going to do with your days. You know, I heard Tony Robbins, motivational speaker, And I remember him saying that he had a rocking chair philosophy. And the rocking chair philosophy was when you are old and you can't do anything else. You can't go out and run a marathon. You know, you can't go out and do a lot of things that you used to do. And you are at home in a rocking chair and you're thinking back over your life. Will you come to a place where you will think about things that you should have done and have regrets? Or will you sit in that rocking chair knowing that you have done everything that you could have done while you were up and about? Well, that's what Paul's saying. Understand that right now, while you have the time, before you get into that rocking chair philosophy, before you end up in that rocking chair, that you have the time right now to understand how important time is and what you need to do with your time. In this passage, we see a serious contemplation. And next, we see a specific Let me back up. We see a serious contemplation, and we also see a specific identification. A specific identification. Notice what he says here. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. That you understand what is the will of the Lord for my life. See, as we understand the will of the Lord, we will use our time wisely. As we understand the will of the Lord, we will use our days to glorify the Lord. You know, I love what Jesus said in John chapter 17, when he knew that he was about to go to the cross, and he looked around and there was a whole lot of people that had not been fed, even though he fed many. There was a whole lot of people that had not been healed, even though he healed many. There's a whole lot of blind that didn't receive their sight, even though he healed many. There were a whole lot of lepers that hadn't been cleansed, even though he cleansed many lepers. Yet and still, on that great night in the high priestly prayer, he said to the Father, he said, Father, I have finished the work that you have given me to do. John 17, 4. I have finished the work that you have given me to do. Are you about doing God's work? Are you about doing the business of the Lord? Charles Stanley says this. He says, there are three things that you can do with your time. You can waste your time. And, you know, we don't need to be creative and think about ways that we can waste our time. We can spend our time. And that is when you spend your time to get something. And that, you know, would be when we go to work. You know, if we go to work for 8 hours and we get a check to compensate us for those 8 hours, then we have spent our time. Or, Stanley says, we can invest our time. And when we invest our time, that means that we put it aside, doing something that is laid up that will pay dividends, not only in this life, but will pay dividends in the life to come. Well, what is a great investment? A great investment. Oh, somebody hear me this morning. A great investment is, let me tell you what a great investment is, right? He says, wherefore, be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. That when you understand the will of the Lord for your life, you are making a great investment. When you understand and you do the will of God, that you are making a great investment. So as we look at the message today, we see a serious contemplation, and that is you need to understand, contemplate with your mind, how important time is. We see a specific identification, and that is the will of the Lord. Clearly identified that the best way that we can use our time is to understand and do the will of the Lord. And then the third thing that I want to say is that we need a scrutinizing evaluation. A scrutinizing evaluation. Notice what he says here. Seeing then that you walk circumspectly. This word circumspectly actually means careful. The basic meaning of this word carries with it the idea of looking at, examining, and investigating something with great care. It also carries the idea of alertness. So when he says that you walk circumspectly, what he is saying here is that you would clearly investigate with great care your time and how you're spending it, and that you would also be alert to how you are spending your time. You know, when you think about it, we make choices every day as to what we're going to do with our time, how we're going to spend our time. And just think over the course of a day, choices that you make. And going back to the choices, are you wasting it? Are you spending it? Are you investing it? Well, he says that we need to walk circumspectly, that we need to walk evaluating, you know, that there needs to be a continuous evaluation as to whether or not we are spending our time, whether we are wasting our time, or whether we are investing our time. He says here, see then that you walk circumspectly and not as fools. So when we are not using our time wisely, Paul says that we're foolish, all right? And so there needs to be that evaluation, that scrutinizing evaluation of what we're doing with our time. And that if there are things in our times that we need to get rid of them, right? Now, I'm preaching to myself. You know, I realize that when there's one finger going out at y'all, there's three coming back at me. So I'm preaching to myself, too. And I'm well aware of that. You know, I remember, you know, and we still have stores. You know, in some stores, when the merchandise might have a defect, I mean, there's nothing, I mean, as far as it's being new, the merchandise might be new. You think of, let me give you an example, a T-shirt, right? A brand new T-shirt that's hot off the factory, that's never been worn before, right? And you could put it in one of those plastic bags and sell it. But what if the collar is uneven? Or, you know, in the arm of the T-shirt, maybe there's a double seam. Well, they would call that an imperfect shirt. And they wouldn't be able to sell that, you know, in some of the mainline department stores or stores that sell brand new stuff. So they will send it to, you know, another store where you can go and purchase this at a discount price. And so what have they done to that garment? They have discarded it because it wasn't good enough. Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. Tune in next time for the conclusion of A Worthwhile Purchase. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, A Worthwhile Purchase, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request A Worthwhile Purchase. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request A Worthwhile Purchase. Or you can call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view or download the more than 400 teachings that are available there. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution,
please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It is through your faithful prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews 6:19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and anchor for the soul. Now, this is Dr. William R. Glaze, and on behalf of our volunteer staff, I would like to remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.